Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Tonight's guest is William Buhlman, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. And good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening to you, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
And happy Valentine's Day to all of our listeners. And, you know, we tend to think of Valentine's Day as a holiday of people in the physical, but I think it's very much an important holiday for those in the afterlife, because, I mean, after all, the evidence shows that the people in the spirit world live in a world that's based upon love and compassion. So what every day is Valentine's Day in the afterlife, don't you
think? We learn that here.
I guess so. I would imagine that, you know, I often think about how love and compassion, we're talking about emotions, and that's probably how we communicate, you know, with those in spirit. I mean, did you ever think, for instance, very often people report significant things happen during special days, birthdays, anniversaries, you know, where they get some sort of a sign or from another realm. And I often think, well, how does one that resides in the realm of spirit know? You know, I realize that we retain a good deal of our memories and personalities, you know, when we cross over to the other side. But there are certainly no calendars, you know. So we're this entity of thought, and so how does somebody that exists in that realm know that February 14th is Valentine's Day, or that, you know, your birthday is January 16th, or, you know, your anniversary? You know, maybe it's because they sense a special emotion surrounding that day.
Well, what comes to mind when I listen to you talk about that is the random number generators and how they respond to the overall emotional response over the world to one particular event. So if a machine can do that, why wouldn't spirit be able to do it just for one person or just for a smaller group of people?
So that would mean, like, let's say, you know, it's your birthday, and somebody you love in spirit, you know, sends you a sign. Would that be because of this emotion or aura or message that you're sending out that they pick up
on? And you may not even be aware that you're sending it out. You're just like, it's your birthday, that person's not here, there's a certain emotion that goes with that. We tend to group things, and I think that's where we do a disservice to all of our emotions across the board, happy, sad, in between. Each emotion, whether it's happy, it's sad, has attached to it the trigger event that made it happy or made it sad. And I think that that's attached to it. So when that emotion travels through the entanglement, and our loved ones are entangled and connected to us, they pick it up along with the whole package. It's not just, oh, she's feeling sad. It's, oh, this sadness that is because it's Valentine's Day and she's missing me. So it's all part of the package.
Yeah, and sometimes they initiate the as opposed to us
asking.
They initiate it and ask signs. Now, we do know from mediumship research and sitting in on many medium readings that spirit often does communicate specific dates, you know, through the medium. Of course, they do it by triggering something in the medium's own frame of reference. But that does come up often. You know, don't you? You hear that a lot in a medium reading, saying what the number 9. What does the number, you know, 9 mean to you? And then, of course, they'll go on to explain. Well, they're getting a 9, but that could mean September, and that's how the person in spirit is communicating. Or it could be the actual number 9 for a birthday. You know, maybe you're born on the 9th, or maybe there's some other significance with the number 9. You're one of 9 children, or so forth. So I guess when you think about it, on the one hand, you might say, look at it a little skeptical, say they come up with the number 3. All right, well, you got to figure, some people would say, well, the 3 is going to fit somewhere along the line. But then again, if the 3 really is significant and you're this entity of thought, you have to find some way to provide some evidence that you know, that you remember.
Well, let's go back to that concept of mediums throwing out a number. And you hear it very frequently. They'll say, oh, I have a 3, and that could mean the third day of the month or March, or, and they'll go through the whole gamut of what the 3 could be. But you also have the mediums who say that I have the number 3, they're showing me 3 children, or they have the number 3, they're showing me the month of March. And that, I'm going back to that same explanation I had before. 3 is a category. Everything that relates to 3, the medium throws at you. But a medium that's getting very specific information, that's able to take the whole package of the number 3, is saying, oh, it's 3 children, because the children is attached to that number. People think that when you're getting a reading from a medium, that it's like talking on the telephone. And it's not. They're not hearing it the way you and I are talking. They're getting telepathic information that comes as a bundled piece of information. And they have to then extrapolate and turn it into a piece of verbal information that you can understand.
Yeah, and certainly not an easy task.
It's not an easy task.
And also, mediums very often, you know, we talk about them maybe picking up on the emotions, and that's how they recognize that it's a special date or we need something. But then again, there are people in spirit that occasionally, not all the time, visit us. You know, so they, I mean, for various explanations for it, you know, they lower their vibrations, they're able to go into the travel from a less dense realm to a more dense realm, and they might be right around us for short periods of time and seeing what's going on, you know, and maybe maybe we attracted them through the emotion, but yes,
well, you know, and I like that you're hitting on that, because that's the thought that comes to my mind. If it is true that we live in this multidimensional universe, and when they shed the physical body, they still are right alongside of us. We just can't see them anymore because they're in a different dimensional situation than we are.
Right.
Then maybe when they are able to let us know they're there, they're not letting us know they're there. That veil is thinning at that moment because our emotions are growing and our emotions are assisting in bringing that connection back together.
Right. Well, it makes sense. I mean, the science shows that the emotions are important in the telepathic process, so certainly would make sense in the spirit world. We're going to take a short break. We have a wonderful guest coming up, somebody that I'm really interested in, because he's going to be talking about willfully going on an outer body. You know, we hear about it in various phenomena, but imagine if you could train yourself to do these things. So stay with us, and we'll be back with our guest in 3 minutes.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.winbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is William Buhlman. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Bob?
And William Buhlman, he's a world authority on out-of-body experiences. In addition to his research, he has four decades of personal out-of-body exploration. This has given him tremendous insight into spiritual development and awareness. He's the author of Adventures Beyond the Body and Secret of the Soul. He lectures extensively. He hosts seminars and workshops. And he provides hands-on specific techniques that can open up all of us to exploration of other realms. He's certainly no stranger to radio and TV programs. And he has developed an extensive series of audio and video programs to assist those who seek to astral travel. His website has a tremendous amount of information on it, and that's astralinfo.org, astralinfo.org. Welcome, Bill.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
And a pleasure to have you. You know, a great deal of our listening audience is probably very familiar with out-of-body experiences when referencing, like, near-death experience or perhaps during dreams, but I would venture to say that a lot of people are not aware that one can have such experiences at will, so to speak, like in a waking state. So So, I mean, who would you say is a good candidate for this type of exploration?
Anyone who has the ability generally to just calm their awareness, and that has the ability to remain calm is generally, anyone can have an out-of-body experience. Matter of fact, according to many experts, it's one of the most common of all psychic or phenomena that occurs.
Mm.
It's basically the separation of consciousness, to get right to the core of it, from the body temporarily. And it's, just to clarify, it has nothing to do specifically with a near-death experience. People
right.
have out-of-body experiences all the time without having any trauma attached to it.
So, yeah, and out-of-body is a often a component of the near-death experience, but
yes.
the two, right. So that's important.
A lot of people connect those two, and that's what I wanted to clarify. That
yeah, absolutely.
It's a very safe experience that people have. It's an altered state experience.
Mm. Why do most people? What's the most common motivation why people want to go out of body? Is it is the most common thing so they could see deceased loved ones?
That's one of them, and that's a common one, but most important from people, I think, is personal verification of their own immortality. People, including myself, from when you have the experience, you prove to yourself that you can continue beyond your physical shell. And that's, for many people, it's a real paradigm shift in their, let's just say, perception of the reality around them. So it's, and then the next one is answers. People want to have answers. You know, we're inundated with beliefs in our society, beliefs of religious beliefs, scientific beliefs, theories. You know, it's everywhere around us. Here you cut to the chase. You only through having your own experiences will you know. And that's what this allows us to do, have our own experience, to explore beyond the limits of our physical body, and to gain incredible insights into the nature of reality.
Mm. Yeah, you hit on exactly something that I was going to ask you, and that is, can one ever get to that state of knowing without personally experiencing? And I think you answered that question. I guess you feel that you really can't, right?
No, I mean, everybody's believing something, aren't they?
Yeah.
Everybody's hoping and praying that their belief system is accurate. And that, to me, is an insane way to live.
Mm.
I mean, I want to know. The only way I'm going to know is to have my own experience. So in my mind, at the very beginning, I thought it was worth the time and the effort to do the techniques that would induce the experience I wanted to have. And that kind of mindset, I think, is what drives some people to, or motivates them, like it did for me, to have my own experiences. Because I would never be content just believing something. That's weak.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And when people say they believe in something, what they're really saying is that they hope that it's true.
Well, what I always say to people, what they're really saying is, I don't know.
Mm.
And I'm settling. I'm really, that's what beliefs are. You're settling.
Yeah.
And let's face it, beliefs, they're going to change. Look at science. I remember it was 100 years ago, some very famous scientists made the kind of asinine statement that everything is now known to science.
Right.
And what? I mean, we're still just scratching the surface of reality
in
the physical sciences. That's one of the things that's so exciting about out-of-body exploration is that you really have a chance to explore and become an explorer, and you no longer have to be dependent upon all these external belief systems that are so, let's just say, so dominant in our society and culture.
When you talk about, preparing and training, to have these experiences. You touched on something before, of calming yourself. I know a lot of people have this fear of losing control, and I don't know a great deal about the methodology of going, you know, out of body, but from reading your books, I know that sometimes it's accompanied by, you know, a high of vibration and some noise, and that might be dissettling. So is one of the obstacles where the fear, you know, sinks in as opposed to letting it go?
Oh, absolutely. It's the biggest obstacle there is fear.
Yeah.
And I talk about this extensively and address it quite a bit. I mean, the first thing we need to do is become knowledgeable about the subject, because in a normal, let's just go, there's all kinds of, let's just say, phenomena that occurs as a precursor to an out-of-body experience. And unfortunately, if you're not educated, it will scare people, because people do experience heavy vibrations right before. There's a almost like a partial paralysis that can occur or be perceived as a numbing sensation. Heavy, often what I describe in my first book is like engine, like you're inside a jet engine. It's because it's a shift of consciousness that's occurring. You're transferring your consciousness from the dense outer body, your physical body, and moving your awareness, so to speak, or shifting it or transitioning it into a higher vibrational energy body. And that's where the sounds and phenomena occur, but it's a very brief transition. The problem is that the initial response for many people, and I know from getting thousands of letters, is that it can be startling, and people aren't used to it. But once you're prepared, once you understand that, yes, there will be, for many people, these loud sounds, these vibrations, or maybe a feeling of presence in the room. There's a lot of phenomena that I write about associated with this. They're all positive indications. These are not negative events. They're positive indications that you're on your way to making this shift of consciousness.
Hmm.
And this is what's so badly needed in our society, because so many people begin to have an out-of-body experience, and it's so alien to them and that they essentially freak out, because they don't know how to handle it. And you handle it by being calm and just relaxing through it. And that's why it's important to read and learn about the topic, so you're prepared for that shift of consciousness that occurs.
Mm.
This is a very natural experience.
Yeah.
All of us are going to have an out-of-body experience. There's no escaping that. It's just a matter of, are we going to be prepared for it?
Do you think that our ancestors, this was very commonplace, and somehow this got... society has weeded this out of us, that we've led
to... Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. If you look at any of the biblical text of for instance, the Quran is based on Muhammad's out-of-body experience. The entire Quran is built around this man's, it's called the night journey, where he leaves his body and he describes going through different dimensional realities, escorted by what he calls an angel. I mean, Revelations begins with, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice. And, you know, I could quote, go on and on, that almost all biblical literature and almost throughout the ages has references to out-of-body experiences. Unfortunately, they use terms that were different than we do today. You know, I was in the spirit, or what? In every culture, they had their own terms for this. And I find it unfortunate that these dots were not connected. My goodness, almost every religion was founded on mystical experiences. I don't think there's an exception to that.
Yeah.
And yet... what's a mystical experience but an altered state of consciousness? And what is many of these altered states? They were out-of-body experience, especially if you were communicating and visiting other realms, which they call heaven, or whatever they wish to call it. Heaven is just part of the non-physical universe that our science has yet to get a handle on.
So religions were based upon the interpretations of the original out-of-body explorers, right?
Yes, yes. Mm. I think clearly when you read, anybody that's had, let's just say, even a half a dozen out-of-body experiences, and then you start to read some of these biblical texts, wow, suddenly it takes on a whole new meaning, especially books like Revelations and the Quran, or the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Suddenly, because yeah. then you have a comparative knowledge of what they were trying to convey. It's difficult to convey this information to the world of matter because these dimensions are thought responsive, and that's a difficult thing to try to convey in this world where we think that reality has to be three-dimensional and have mass and be firm, and you know that's not real. Reality is different in each dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I and many others discovered really quickly is that the entire physical world we see around us when we look out into the stars, that's just the epidermis. When you have an out-of-body experience, you're moving into the next level, the next inner dimension that's just more subtle. And each dimension, as we move into them, become increasingly less dense and more thought responsive. That's a known fact now by anybody who's had out-of-body experiences. But yet science doesn't. One thing science acknowledges, which I find kind of interesting, is that now the popular fight with physicists and astrophysicists is how many dimensions are there?
Right.
Is it 11? Is it 21? So there now that's becoming more and more, let's just say, accepted that there's multiple dimensions.
And you know, in your personal explorations, you talk about how you've learned to actually change your spiritual form or change your density. I mean, what do you mean by that? How do you do that?
Well, remember our form, not only our form, but our entire density is the thought form, essentially. When you leave your body, your mindset, your beliefs are molding an image of yourself. Remember, when you leave your body, and this may sound strange to some people, but because most people don't think about it, you don't have biological eyes or ears anymore. That's not the way the universe works. It's a whole new set of laws come into play. And this applies to all. Matter of fact, the same applies when we die. No one has biological bodies. So what is creating our perceptions? What is creating our bodies? It's our thoughts, our self-concept, our mind is molding the subtle energy. And that's what our spiritual, or that's people call the spiritual body or astral body, that's what this truly is. It's essentially a thought form that we're using as a vehicle of consciousness. And we have the ability, by changing our internal, let's just say our internal self-concept or dialogue, we have the ability to not only alter the frequency of the energy body, but we have the ability to do other things, like fly, walk through walls. These are just normal capabilities for all people that know that after you, let's just say after death, because it all depends on how attached you are to the limits of form and matter. And as you disassociate with that, as you grow and learn that, heck, I don't have density. Consciousness is, it doesn't have, you know, everybody's so used to identifying themselves with a hunk of flesh. But, you know, we have to acknowledge eventually that that's not what we are. This physical body is just a temporary vehicle of our consciousness.
Mm.
And once we leave it, we can alter that by the way we alter our thought.
Yeah, I knew that you were a true explorer when reading The Secret of the Soul, and you said something interesting. You mentioned that when you physically die, you know, that you're not going to be content to see past acquaintances and be and simply be in a comfortable, you know, surrounding. And I said to myself, boy, those are the things that most people look forward to, you know, that they figure is the ultimate. And you're saying there's a lot more.
Exactly. Unfortunately, as a matter of fact, I write about that in one of my chapters because I feel that that's one of the things that's in really slowing or hindering the evolution of consciousness on this planet, is that people are too attached to their biological bodies. That's why there's so many people hovering around the, what many people, let's just say, perceive as the lower sections of the astral plane, which are close to the physical, because they're so attached. That's why the Tibetan book was written. The Tibetan Book of the Dead is basically a training book that was written many centuries ago to train people to move beyond the next dimensional level, the astral plane, so that they would evolve quicker and move beyond reincarnation, move beyond that, let's just say, to break the connection that they have to matter. And that's what, and I have a new book coming out in another 6 weeks or so, and I really talk about this extensively because I feel it's so important. Because how can we evolve, and very few people think of this, but how can we, as there's 7 billion of us, how can we, as so-called, let's call ourselves humans, evolve beyond our self-conception of a three-dimensional body, when that in itself is locking us into a dense paradigm that's close to the physical world? This is what the Tibetan Book of the Dead addresses. It teaches people to go beyond, go to the clear light of the void is the mantra. In other words, go beyond form, go beyond human thought, go beyond these temporary projections of the mind. Go to the source. Go to your spiritual essence. That's what they're reminding people to do. In other words, go beyond the astral dimension.
Hmm.
No,
Bill,
don't get caught up.
Yeah, there are. We have a bunch of people that'd like to talk to you. Would you mind taking a call from a listener?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, we have Anna from Florida on the line.
Okay. Hello, Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. You're on with William Buhlman. Did you have a question for Bill?
Yes, actually, I did. I have some books on some audio books on remote viewing. But what is the simple way just to get started with remote viewing?
That is not my subject matter. I teach out of body exploration. Remote viewing is more of a psychic development. There are two different subjects, believe it or not. They are connected on a certain level, but I'd like to make that clear. Out-of-body exploration is the separation or projection of consciousness beyond your physical limits. Remote viewing is a psychic skill where you open up and are able to perceive remote locations while you're still sitting in your body. They're two separate, distinct skills, let's say. Is that clear?
Okay. Yeah. I thought that with the remote viewing, you could have the out-of-body experience.
You can. That's why there are many remote viewers will spontaneously have out-of-body experiences. But in its very true essence, that's not what it is. I'm very familiar with remote viewing. I'm one of the instructors at the Monroe Institute. So.
Okay.
Yes, but I just want to make that clear. The best way is to learn as much as you can. Select the technique that resonates with you that I write about. I have like 40 techniques in my books. Select the technique that works for you, and then do the technique every day for 30 to 60 days, every day. You have to program your subconscious mind to accept this ability, just like it takes, you know, the old saying, it takes 21 days to create a habit. It takes, for many people, it takes days. It took me 24 days to have my first conscious out-of-body experience. But it was worth the effort because it opened up a whole new world. So this takes some, let's just say, dedication on a daily basis. It's not difficult, though. These techniques are easy to learn. You do them, you could do them as you're falling asleep. But you do it consistently for a month.
Oh, really? So you could do them as you're falling asleep?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, all right, thanks for calling, Anna.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. And that, you know, Bill, you mentioned 24 days. I think a lot of people would be more than happy to devote 24 days to have such
an
experience.
Especially if you do it while you're falling asleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like, take the day pressure off you.
Yeah, well, I'm just throwing out, there's a lot more, for instance, unfortunately, the worst place to do your technique is in your bed because you're programmed to sleep soundly in your bed, most of us.
Right.
So the ideal way to practice out-of-body exploration is to wake up in the middle of the night after about 4 hours of sleep and then go to your couch and have that ready and then do your technique while laying on the couch and place your intention into that. That's the ideal way. It's the most effective way.
Yeah.
Or to go to a guest. It doesn't have to be your couch. It could be a guest room in your house, or it could be any place that's not the same as your normal bed that you sleep in. Because remember, through our entire lives, we've programmed ourselves. When you lay, you know that old saying, I slept like a rock, and like that's a positive thing.
Right.
here we want the opposite. We want to be more aware when we're asleep. We want to be incredible. We want to be totally aware as their body sleeps. So we have to break all of the old habits that we have, even from a subconscious level. And that's what these techniques do.
Right.
But again, they're simple techniques to do. Some of them are just an easy as chanting mentally to yourself, now I have an out-of-body experience. I mean,
I would mention
ways to do this. They're not complex.
Yeah. I would mention you can go to, we're going to take a break, but if you visit astralinfo.org, these techniques will not only available in Bill's books, Adventures Beyond the Body and Secret of the Soul, but there are also CDs and other training methods for this. So we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with this fascinating discussion about out-of-bodies, so stay with us.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world, but for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential, and research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
The show is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. There are three ways to show us that you like Signs of Life Radio. One would be to go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. Two, you can use the donate button on any of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There's also a space to add a comment on what you love and what you don't like so much about the show. And third, you can remember us when you shop. Yes, when you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, in their more than 1,000 online stores like Radio Shack, TurboTax, Vera Bradley, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Night of Mediums is set for April 12, 2013 at the Melville Marriott, with lots of certified mediums coming from across the country to take part in this annual fundraiser. Early bird reservation pricing has gone out to our members, and that will expire on February 28th when sales go to regular pricing and open up to the general public. Our Grief Transformation Weekend is set for July 26th to 28th at the Guest House in Chester, Connecticut. The first 50 reservations will fill this intimate retreat escape with like-minded people seeking to maintain their relationships with those who have crossed over to the other side. Watch for announcements in your email boxes. Back to you, Bob.
And we are talking with William Buhlman. He is the author of Adventures Beyond Beyond the Body and Secret of the Soul. I know that he has an intriguing new book coming out that we're anxiously awaiting for, which is going to be called Adventures in the Afterlife. Bill, you mentioned that you do workshops at Monroe, and some people may be familiar with Monroe and the Hemi-Sync method. And do you incorporate some of the same techniques of the synchronization of brain hemispheres to help induce out-of-bodies?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I use hypnosis, guided visualization combined with extensive hemi-sync to help people to get into altered states and to ideally to have a profound personal experience. So that's what it's all about. At the Monroe Institute, everybody, what makes it different than most workshops is that everybody's in their own check unit. So it's a very intimate experience. You're surrounded by the sound. You're in your own space. And I do the guided meditations through an audio system that's quite high tech. So it gives people an opportunity to go, in many cases, you know, they have an opportunity to go deeper than they may on their own sometimes. So it's a very unique and a wonderful place that people seem to love and come back to year after year.
Mm. And that's it's not a one-day thing. This is
It's a six-day residential workshop.
Okay.
Where lodging, meals, everything is included.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite intense. It's quite it's unique in many, many ways. And I teach the one course, which is called Out of Body Exploration Intensive. And of course, Monroe is famous for many other kinds of classes and that involve all kinds of, let's just say, psychic development.
I wanted to ask you a question. A lot of people tell us that about their children, you know, and they talk about the dreams that their children have, and very often the parents just attribute it to pure fantasy. But might children be having their own out-of-body experiences and just aren't able to communicate it?
Oh, absolutely. Children, based on the research I've done, children are far more open to having out-of-body experience and visitation experiences. Matter of fact, in general, children are more open to all kinds of psychic-type experiences, including communication with the dead, etc. But children are definitely having out-of-body experiences, but they're, unfortunately, most, I knew that. As I had experiences growing up, it's typical for parents to just slough it off and say, oh, that was just a dream. And children, especially based on the research, before puberty, is when they're far more open than adults are. Unfortunately, as we age and enter maturity, all the evidence points to the fact that we begin to close, or most of us begin to close up and become acclimated to matter. And where children are having all kinds of incredible experiences. I have a chapter in Secret of Soul devoted to this. Children are meeting dead loved ones. They're having all kinds of contact experiences. And but how do they convey that, especially when they get no support from their surroundings? So they end up just, parents often will end up just shutting down their children because they consider it weird.
Yeah.
It's sad, but that's exactly how society works.
I know. That's so true. So when we're having an out-of-body experience, are we cognizant of our physical form, of our physical consciousness, or are we totally do we forget who we are and just meld?
Oh, no, not at all. We're us, just without the limits of the body.
Okay.
There's some of our personality traits sometimes may be a little bit changed. Like, for instance, I find that I'm much more free, much more, sometimes more aggressive in my way I approach reality. For instance, I'll fly. I know I can fly if I have an out-of-body experience. And I don't let things stop me. If there's a wall there, I know I can walk through that wall. Follow me. I don't feel the limitations that I would in the physical world, because I know from trial and error they don't exist.
Yeah.
And the more that we buy, the more that we realize that within ourselves, the freer we become, and the more capabilities we have to explore and experience without limitation. So that's, every person is different. But yes, you are the same person. And that's what's what many people find so intriguing about the whole thing, because they realize, oh my God, you know. And you're not a ghost. A lot of people ask me, well, are you a ghost? No. You can still feel your own body. Reality is relative. You're just vibrating in a higher frequency. But you is still very real. Matter of fact, a lot of out-of-body experiences are not even remembered for people because it's so physical-like, because there's a parallel world that many people experience when they have an out-of-body experience. The next level of reality from matter is a parallel energy world. In the old days, you used to call it the etheric, but it's very much the substructure of matter. A lot of people have experiences, and they don't even know they're out of body because it feels like they're not. For instance, I've received hundreds of letters from people that will go to the bathroom and try to run the water or go to the refrigerator, and they realize their hand is going through the handle of the refrigerator, and only then do they realize they're having an out of body experience. It's not this airy fairy thing that people think it is. You're not floating around for most of us. It's very much, if you're still self-identified as a bipedal human, you're walking around with a body just like you have now. It's just vibrating differently. And
well,
that's something
different
that throws people off.
Yeah. Well, when we physically die, I mean, we go through the same thing. We're having an outer body. We shed the body, and a lot of people, it seems, don't realize that they're dead because they're still them.
Absolutely. It hasn't changed that much. Your personality is the same. Your body to you looks the same. How do you know you're dead until you try to contact matter? This is, of course, you know, probably from mediumship shows you've done. This is a problem because people honestly do not know that they've died because they don't feel different for that to them. And this is exactly what happens during an out-of-body experience. Our duplicate energy body, or what some people call the astral, is very much a duplicate of our physical body. And it's just energetically different. And if you're around these, it's like two jet planes that are side by side going 600 miles an hour. You look like you're standing still. And same applies here. If your surroundings are vibrating at the same speed as you are, those surroundings are very much real to you. That's why this education is so needed, because, you know, we live in a multidimensional universe, and the physical world is the epidermis layer. And unfortunately, people are still don't quite, the word hasn't reached everyone. That's another reason why this exploration is so important, so you get a handle on the nature of reality.
Yeah.
And you're not lost or disoriented, which happens at many people when they die.
Yeah. Well, we unfortunately have reached the end of our time, but I hear you, and perhaps that is this paradigm shift in consciousness that a lot of people are now talking about through this exploration. We're coming closer. I would encourage everybody, if you want more information, go on Bill's website. It's astralinfo.org. You can get his books even through a link on our website, Adventures Beyond the Body and Secret of the Soul. Look for his new book, Adventures in the Afterlife, and you can find out more about the workshops that he does at Monroe Institute. Bill, thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you'll join us again very soon when the new book comes out.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Okay, thanks so much. And have a good evening.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our healing energy circle. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, Deb Martin, Tina Joslin, Barbara Russell, Alex, Nancy Scheel, Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Farron, Eileen Lafada, Rita Springer, David Haith, Barbara Petillo, Glenna Irwin, Chase McKenna, Elizabeth McKenna, Julie B., Stanley Mullen, Flora Prisco, Tracy Lee Nash, Marianne Pierzga, Tanya Cash, Linda, and our own Melissa Gould. Now let us join in for the global peace prayer. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.